The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You are tuned into Monday's edition of the podcast where we have racing from Bangor on Dee, Wolverhampton and Kempton. And it'll be Gary Capewell and Will Smith joining you in the studio for all of Monday's action. For the meantime, my name is Sam Morrison. I'm joined by Will Smith now to take a look at some of the racing on Monday. How are you today, Will?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good, how are you?
Good stuff, yes. I'm in good shape, thank you. Still reflecting on a good day's racing yesterday. Of course, Red the Civil landing a third long walk hurdle.
Yeah, amazing result, really, because he's probably entered the race not in the same form that he was in the previous 2 years, certainly. Great training performance from Nick Williams. You get the feeling, or you got the feeling going into the race, that they actually thought maybe Orbison had perhaps more of a squeak than Rev de Sivilla, hence Orbison was fairly well backed and ended up actually going off a shorter price than his stablemate Rev de Sivilla. But obviously, Rev de Sivilla comes alive on this day at Ascot, as he has done for the last 3 years. And it was a hell of a ride from Daryl Jacob, and also, you know, a great training performance. And the ground, I thought, might not quite have been soft enough for him, but goes to show he's a class grade one staying hurdler, and he's proved it yet again, as did Zarkando, who ran a cracker and was perhaps slightly unlucky. A lot of people are making reference to the ride that Sam Twiston Davies gave him, but, I mean, the horse idled in front of him in a, you know, a strongly run 3 mile race. You, if you can put the race to bed, you try and do that. And I don't think Sam did anything wrong really there. He rode the horse to win the race, and he went three or four lengths clear, and there was probably only half a furlong or so left, and he just started idling. And Rev de Sivilla, being oh so brave, managed to get back up.
What does the future hold, do you think, for Rev de Sivilla? Another one, another long walk hurdle next year?
Well, I'm sure that'll be the plan. Yeah. I mean, all roads will lead to that from now. I mean, that's been the case the last couple of years. He obviously had an abortive chase campaign a couple of years ago. That, you know, that they won't go back to that. He's won three long walks. Why not try and make it four? Do what Big Bucks couldn't. Obviously, he won three, and I think Barracuda won three as well. So if he could notch up a fourth, he'd he'd go down in history. And I'm sure that'll be every day now. We'll be geared up to getting him there in the same form that he's been in.
Yeah, hopefully see him there again next year. Another couple of good winners on Saturday. Bayan, worth mentioning, came home at 14-1. What did you make of that?
Yeah, and I backed it, thankfully, as well, which was good.
Very well done.
I mean, all through the week I was keen on him, but with the ground being fairly soft, certainly earlier on in the week it was very soft, and then it gradually dried out. And it was only yesterday morning that I took the decision to actually sort of back him, because it looked as if the ground would be verging towards good to soft, which would be fine for him. I mean, he was the class horse in the race. He brought real good, strong handicap form into the race. I mean, I think he was third in a Galway hurdle. He was third in the Coral Cup. And he was only £6 higher than when finishing so close in the Galway hurdle. And that form is very, very strong and has worked out well. And it looked as if it was perhaps something of a slightly below par Ladbroke. While it was competitive, there was nothing that stood out as being absolutely thrown in. Activial, you could argue, perhaps will prove to be better than his mark in time. But it was a very winnable race for me, and Bayan had already proved himself well up to contesting this kind of company, and I thought 14-1, 12-1 was an embarrassing price, really, for such a good horse.
And so it proves to be as well. I'm sure the bookies were emptying the coffers after that one. Just before we move on then to Monday's racing, just one more horse that caught the eye yesterday over at Fairy House. Underso winning a good race there and clipped into 7-2 now for the Arkle. Does it look like an Arkle winner too? Still going to have to beat Vautour, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know, because I've been very strong on Vautour. Well, ever since he won the Supreme last year, I thought, you know, if he goes chasing, he's the Arkle winner. And there's no, if he turns up in you know, 80% of his best, should be good enough to win an Arkle. But obviously with Underso, the emergence of him as a chaser, and obviously yesterday was fairly impressive. I mean, it was soft ground again. He's never really encountered the ground that he's likely to encounter at Cheltenham on the first day there. Usually it's sort of good to soft, verging on the good side. So that would be a worry if he turned up there. I mean, I couldn't sort of pin my colours to the mast just yet because we don't know what Willie Mullins is going to do. I mean, he's got those two incredibly exciting horses. They're different horses, but if both turned up on the day, I'd still be more keen on Fortour because he's been there and done it, and he seems to be a lot more amenable to sort of jockey's restraint or what the jockey wants him to do, whereas Undersow seems to pretty much just go and not stop, which, you know, might well work. But around Cheltenham in a championship race, you're going to have a little bit more savvy to you, I guess, than what Undersow seems to have. I might be proved wrong, but as I say, at the prices, I couldn't have him at the moment.
Okay, fair enough. We'll take a look how that one plays out come March then. We'll move on to take a quick look at three races from Monday, and it's the last betting opportunity to top up before Christmas as well, so no pressure. We're racing at Bangor on D and two on the all-weather from Wolverhampton and Kempton, and it's Bangor where we'll go to for the first of the races on the podcast, this one coming up at 12:30. A handicap chase, this one. Extended three-mile trip, a Class 4 contest with six runners down to go to post. Who do you like the look of here?
I like the look of Venetia Williams Jupiter Rex. He ran up a sequence in the spring of last year, and then he's been off the track for fully 18 months, and he's had two races since. The first one over hurdles at Exeter was very, very promising, actually, and he shaped as if next time he was probably a horse to be on, and as if he was going to continue the upward curve that he finished off. He flopped somewhat at Exeter next time, though, back over fences, though off the back of 18 months off, having another run 11 days later might well have been just a little bit too soon. Mm. And he actually ran well, you know, to a point. But I don't think Exeter's his track anyway. He's done all his winning before that at sort of sharp, flat tracks, really. Taunton, Plumpton, Ludlow, Newton Abbott. So they're completely different tests to what Exeter holds. And the fact that he goes to Bangor next, and he's had just over a month off, which, you know, hopefully if the bounce factor, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, has gone now, and he's got that sort of bounce out of the way, and then next time is often the time when you want to catch horses like that. I think he could still be quite well treated off a mark of 108 over fences. I mean, he last won off 105 back at Newton Abbott, and he won very easily. So if he can be... I'm sure Venetia will at some stage get him back into that kind of form because she's so good with these kind of horses. And he might, but because of the last two flops, he might well start a price that you probably consider to be backable for a Venetian horse in a chase like this in the depths of winter. Usually they go off even money or even shorter. But hopefully we can get a decent price about him.
Okay, fair enough then. Will taking Jupiter Rex in that one, who of course racked up that impressive seven-timer last season. We'll stay at Bangor then for the next race on the podcast. This one, a maiden hurdle. Another Class 4 contest, this one. 2.5 miles the trip, and nine of them will line up to contest this. Couple of lightly raced types in the field. Who's appealing to you in this one?
Yeah, it's a horse who won Great Treks. I get the impression feels is perhaps one of the best that he's ever had. I mean, he's only a four-year-old and he's only had two runs, and he's very much a fledgling in his fledgling stage of his career. But he won a bumper at Wetherby very easily, and then he was well backed to win a hurdling debut over 2 miles back at Wetherby. Now it was clear from an early stage that 2 miles was going to be on the short side for him, and if he was stepped up to 2.5 next time in a similar kind of race, I thought, well, he's definitely one to be on with the benefit of that experience run, and also the fact that the step up in trip will definitely suit. Interesting that Warren Greatrex has got Paul Maloney on board as well. That's not usually I don't think that's an association that has been explored too much in the past. So obviously Paul Maloney is a go-to jockey for a lot of people. So he's an interesting booking, and I feel that step up to 2.5 ground should be fine for him. And there's one or two probably interesting horses in against him as well, which might give us something of a price. If it was a very, you know, lowly winnable race, then he'd go off odds on again, and we'd have no sort of value really to play with. But hopefully Charlie Longson's got one in there, Dan Skelton has got one, John Joe O'Neill. So there might be a reasonable price. And if he were in the region of 2-1, 5-2, then that would be a really good price for me. If
Okay then. Madifo looking the back of one then for Will in that 2:30 at Bangor. Final race then on Monday's podcast comes from the Tafta at Wolverhampton at 10 past 5. 1 mile 4 furlong trip this one, a handicap class 6 event. Who makes the standout here?
Yeah, well, it's a line of form that works out. Yesterday, the very last race that we had yesterday at Lingfield was won by Golly Miss Molly. Now, Golly Miss Molly had previously just touched off Reality Show in a race at Kempton. Now, Reality Show reappears here at Wolverhampton, where he's actually shown his best form previously anyway. Or he's gone well, should I say. He won a handicap off 75 a couple of years ago, and then he's won a seller there, albeit, but he's also won another handicap of 55 last year, because he'd been through the trainers, really. He's had a couple. He started with Mohamed Al-Zarouni, and then he went to Tim Vaughan and Brian Ellison and Mick Appleby, so he's been around the blocks a little bit. Now, Sean Harris inherited him at the back end of last year, and he got a couple of wins out of him off 55 and 58. Now, he ran a really eye-catching race, as I say, behind Golly Miss Molly. They pulled a long way clear. Golly Miss Molly franked the form yesterday, off an £8 higher mark. She was. Now, Reality Show is only £2 higher for this race, and it really appeals as if Sean Harris is getting this one to steadily improve his form. He's only had 3 runs this winter, and I'd be very disappointed if he didn't go very, very close back at a venue he knows pretty well, and in a race where there's a little bit of depth to it as well, so he might get quite a nice price. But there's a few that have a progressive profile, but certainly nothing that stands out as being especially well treated as what I feel Reality Show could well be.
Okay then, fair enough. Reality Show in the 5:10 at Wolverhampton for Will. If you could just remind us please then of your 3 best bets for Monday's racing.
Yeah, well, I got one in the very first race of the day, Jupiter Rex at Bangor in the first there. Bookend it with the very last race of the day at Wolverhampton with Reality Show, and then in the middle I've got Mardafu for Warren Great Trex to continue that one's progression.
Okay, fantastic stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Will Smith ahead of Monday's racing. And you can join Will in the William Hill Racing Radio studio in the company of Gary Capewell on Monday, where we have action from Bangor-on-Dee, Wolverhampton and Kempton. Thank you very much for joining me on today's podcast, Will, and good luck with those selections.
Cheers, thank you. Merry Christmas.
And to you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.